Good morning, everybody, and happy first Advent. And as we are heading toward the very high season, I'd like to share this meditation with you. 150 years before Jesus Christ came to earth, many Jews were troubled by their political and military situation. As we are trying to understand, as we learn every day, you cannot understand other people until you can stand in their own shoes. But the reality here, we can't really understand that totally, because what really was the future for them, it's behind us today. But at least we can try to grab some of the reality was surrounding the Jews around the time of Jesus Christ. The reality that their country was controlled by foreign powers for many centuries, from one group after another. First the Egyptians, second the Babylonians, and the 6th century BC. Then the Persians, the Greeks, and the Assyrians, and goes forever. But in 167 BC, something big and significant happened. The Jews, for the first time, resist the Syrians when a Jewish family known by the Maccabees led their revolution. And for the first time, and from a long time ago, they formed an independent state of Judea that lasted for a century. But again, the Romans came and destroyed their dream in 63 BC. So it's up and down. Just 60 years before Jesus' birth, the Jewish community again is searching for their identity. And with many questions, why? Why did we lose? Why did God let these people, our enemies, to invade us and control us? If we are better, we should be on the top. If we are better, we should be in more power. For many centuries, the Jews listened to their own prophet who said, "You are suffering because God was punishing you." But why? Because you ran away from him. And we can read that in many scriptures over all the Old Testament. But 2 centuries before the time of Jesus Christ, something also new happened. The Jews developed a new way of understanding God's mission in the world, which is known as a Jewish apocalyptic thinking. And this is not a word invented by Mel Gibson. This is actually a Greek word. This term is apocalyptic, came from the Greek word apokalypsis, which means revealing. Take the cover over something so people can see and understand better. What's more important about this group, they try to understand God in a different way. In this school, they understood God was not punishing them, but their suffering caused by the forces of evil in the world. And it was a huge step to think about a different relationship between evil and God. In other words, it's the cost of being faithful and just. And if you're taking God's side, that's what will happen to you. The book of Habakkuk was written to reflect the struggle of Jews during the exile and raising the question of all generations, the old and the new, and I think the question will stay even with our future, about the power and the relationship between evil and good, why good people suffer, and why even what we call bad people or bad events is really doing better. Habakkuk is unique in his message because he was not personally actually suffering. In a personal way, he's away from all the struggles. But he was very close to his people. So he felt their pain and he took their side. And he was courageous enough to put himself in trouble with the big guy, with God. He actually brought all these struggles and questions, and he's sitting in the hot seat talking with God, why? He brought all the hot issues, all the struggle into God's presence. And this concept is very new. Maybe as a Christian today, we speak about the grace and the love and the warm and fuzzy God. But this wasn't easy in the Old Testament to be courageous enough to talk with God in this way. There is two ways to understand why Habakkuk was so courageous. Maybe he was mad enough not to be afraid. Or maybe he was really in touch with what's really meaning God's love and grace. The first chapter is about question or complaints from Habakkuk to God, or even from you, God. If you are running this world, you should do better. If you are running everything happening in our life, we are not really, as a people of God, doing better. We are actually in a very bad shape. He's talking with God and to God. In the second chapter, he kept the same attitude. Was, I am insisting on my questions. I am not giving up my questions, was his first verse. But there is a little bit shift between the first chapter and the second chapter. When he told us that now it's a time to listen. It's a time to give God a chance to express God's self. God, I said everything, and now it's your turn. The scene changed from a monologue to a dialogue between God and the prophet. And it's very hard when it seems like the conversation goes only one way. When we think God is only speaking all the time and there is no chance for us to speak. Or even when we speak all the time and it seems like God is not listening or not really engaging in our conversation. But I think God was engaging, but by being listening and respecting his feeling. And the famous message that is, the just shall live by his faith. And Habakkuk became a very famous guy during all the church history. It started with Paul, when Paul quoted him many times. In Epistle to the Romans, chapter 1, verse 17. Epistle to the Galatians, chapter 3, verse 11. Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 38. But even he became more famous around the church history. Many church fathers admired him, admired his way of really questioning and wondering, and naming all these questions without fear in God's presence. Many saints in the church history used his book, especially Saint Jerome, who called Habakkuk as the fighter. And he said, Saint Jerome, is Habakkuk remind me of what happened between Jacob and God in the Old Testament, when Jacob was a fighter and he didn't give up until God blessed him. And he said Habakkuk was fighting not for his own personal interest. He was actually a good fighter for others who cannot fight, who cannot speak, who cannot understand and name their needs. And the most important thing, and the most recent, is chapter 2 and verse 4, the one we just read, the just shall live by his faith. This is the verse that opened Martin Luther's eyes, the father of the Reformation history, to know that believers should live by faith. And from there, he found the road to taste God's grace and to understand there is a room for faith and not only for work. Today I like to focus on Habakkuk as the man of vision and to see how and when this vision was born. What kind of womb really absorbed and protected this vision? He started to build his vision with his honest and deep questions. And I know in our life, I'm even scared to say God is like our fathers and mothers who can listen to all our questions. Because this is not true. there are some bad questions we don't want our kids to say to us or to ask us, or some forbidden questions. But I think what's really here is Habakkuk is saying this is what's really hurting us. That's where we stand and that's what we feel. This question reflected his compassion for his people, and he's saying, I feel their suffering. He is encouraging us to bring any question to God and not to be afraid. Because do you know why? Because questions reflect that we are not dead. Questions reflect that our faith is not an old dead history, but it's a living organ. We can tell he was disappointed and confused about this relation, complicated relationship between evil and good. He almost seems like he's giving up on everything. But he was holding on hope. There is a place for these questions. There is a person I can go to. There is a court where I trust. There is a just where I can name my need. And the judge will be fair to me. Some people put these questions on their shoulders. Therefore, it breaks their back. But today we learn from Habakkuk that we can stand on our questions and concern so we can come closer to God and see things from different perspective. Vision is born from a question and a search. And we can hear that from Habakkuk when he said, I will stand at my watch spot where my duty is, and I will keep watch to see. There is a sense of doubt, there is a sense of wonder, there is a sense of, I don't know what's exactly going on. But there is also determination of, I am not going to give up my duties. All these words are in future tense and active words that express different motions. Stand, station. Another message we can hear from Habakkuk is to keep practicing our faith, because that's the only thing keeps our head above the water. When it seems all these questions overwhelming, no enough answer, and no really good answer to comfort and to hold us together. While we are waiting for a vision, for an answer, for something big to happen or to be revealed, or even for something to be real, we should be engaged in life, because through this engagement, our vision is born. Our vision is revised. And even it gets better when we start the process of practicing our vision and our ideas. Habakkuk insisted on his questions and demand answer, but at the same time, he had a room to listen to others and to work with God as a teamwork. It's not because I said this idea, or I invented this idea, or I initiated this idea, so I am the controller of the universe. There is a room for others to work with, to shape, to change, to direct, redirect our visions in different ways. And in all these, this is God's Spirit. It is better to think about our vision as something flexible to be expanded by others, and to reflect more than just personal interest. God told Habakkuk the vision must be clear and easy for people to read and to understand. I hear God is saying to us, what's the benefit of a vision that's not addressing people's need and not engaging them in a way that they can understand and relate to? It's a wonderful idea, but it's in the heaven. It's all this, something could happen in 200 years. But people who are living here and now cannot understand that. So our vision should be related to the time and to the context. God is saying to Habakkuk, I feel the same burden as you toward my people. And if we feel that, we should do something. Let us do something. Let's write something. Let's apply our values to the way we are going to write our vision. We want everybody to be able to read it. And I love the image about the runner. A runner who has no time to stand and read, and they are busy only on the road. I want to be very bold and attractive and clear so they can even take a second, less than a second, and read it. Vision is simply about something that could help us to say something and to share it with others through discussion. And hopefully we can make it visible through some applications. How we can today and tomorrow, hopefully, create our own vision, and we be a visionary people in a dark time or a hard time in our life. How could we keep our head above the water? I didn't have a simple or an easy answer to that. But I believe through hope we can keep our minds and hearts open to new visions. Because hope is the engine of our faith, even in the toughest moment in our life. Do not give up on being God's agent who can carry God's vision and mission to the world. You and me never know how much your ideas and belief could shape and affect others everywhere and all the time. Habakkuk is telling us, on one hand, I hold the book of questions, confusion, fear, troubles, all these negative things. But on the other hand, I hold in my hand the book of faith that tell me I should do what I should do here and now, and what kind of duty I should engage with. If we are sitting still, we should stand up because our faith is active and alive. If our back bent over from all these heavy burdens, it's time to straighten ourselves, because we live not only by bread, but also by faith. Wake up every day with the hope there is more to be revealed about your personal life and your family and about our mission as a follower of Jesus Christ. Amen.